You're listening to a 95BFM podcast. It's time for our weekly chat with National Party MP Dr. Shane Letty.
Would you care to outline who the tax relief is helping?
So our tax calculator has been seen by tens, if not hundreds of thousands, if I'm correct, of people. And what people are able to do is to go online and actually assess what their tax benefit would be under our plan. So that's the simplest and easiest way to assess what the tax implications for what we're wanting to do to reduce the amount of tax that New Zealanders pay is to use the tax calculator. And then everyone can see what benefit they may have. And we've been very encouraged by the huge number of people who have been on that website and assessing what their own position might be.
What about the people who do not get tax relief?
So there are always some. We're wanting to particularly lift those who are in the squeezed middle, who are being squeezed from all sides of cost of living. And we're particularly wanting to help them make their way. I see, by the way, talking about making your way, I see that oil was hitting $4 a barrel overnight. That's going to pass through into higher petrol prices, which of course is a component to a significant component to cost of living. So that's an externality that we have less control over. But to answer your question, we're particularly saying that those New Zealanders who are the squeezed middle, we're wanting to offer them relief, and everyone will be able to see what degree of relief they may or may not get. Fair to say those in some of the higher categories will get less relief, but that's what a progressive tax system looks to do.
So in reducing other government spending to cover this tax relief, will there be any jobs that are lost?
So what we've said is frontline services are really crucial to us across a range of industries, particularly health and education, law and order, and that we believe there are efficiencies that can be made in moving resources from the back office through to the front line. And we've used the example that it's reported there are 200 PR staff, comm staff, between Health New Zealand and the Ministry of Health. That's a large number of staff. And we understand a need for comms, but just struggling to understand why there'd be 200. And so that would be an example of moving from back office to front line. Or another way to put that is, I need real docs, not PR docs.
Moving on, would you care to outline what is in National's 100-day plan?
So our 100-day plan is a substantial body of work, and that's been noted and commented on by many of, goodness me, that's busy. And indeed, in fact, some were saying to Chris, will you be looking to run the parliamentary term right up to Christmas? And you heard Chris say, we will do what is necessary to get this country back on track. So a significant body of work. It covers pretty much every portfolio, and it's those things that you need to get underway to implement your manifesto and to literally get the country back on track. And I'll just touch base on a couple of them. Removing the Auckland regional fuel tax, removing the Reserve Bank's dual mandate, restoring 90-day employment trials, extending that free breast cancer screening up to 74. We've said we'll repeal Labor's Three Waters in the first 100 days. We've said we'll repeal Labor's RMA laws. Look, there's gang things that we'll be making initiatives on as well, where we've talked about being tougher on gangs. I'm looking at the document here, and it's a multi-page document with a range of actions that will take in those first 100 days to literally get New Zealand back on track.
How confident are you that the National Party will be able to deliver?
I am confident because we spent a lot of time, each of us, thinking about what was deliverable in the first 100 days. And I know in the health contribution to this, the five components, we made absolutely sure that what we're contributing to this mix is deliverable in that first 100 days. So yes, no, confident that we can do this.
Just a few things I picked up on in the 100-day plan. What is the reasoning in abolishing an employee's right to raise a personal grievance if they're dismissed in their 90-day trial period?
So this was a part of the 90-day trials. What it was, it gave both the employer and the employee that 90-day look at each other to say this is working or it's not working. And a part of that is that Certainly, there's a place for personal grievance, but in those early employment arrangements, it was seen to be a hindrance. So this is literally reinstating what was already there in the 90-day trials. There's nothing new to this. That is part of the framework of the 90-day trials.
The other thing I picked up on was banning gang patches and making gang membership an aggravating factor in sentencing. What messaging does your party want to convey with this policy?
What we want to convey to gangs is that a national government will be much firmer and much tougher on gangs than our current soft-on-crime approach. There is a little benefit and contribution to society that is positive from gangs and gang activity when they're selling methamphetamine to children, when they're associated with, as police tell us, a significant number of ram raids and crime. That is something that needs to stop. New Zealanders have had enough. They've had enough of a government that has been soft on crime, that decided that the prime or the key KPI, if you like, for justice was to reduce the prison cohort by 30%, and then during an election period, decide, no, we'll actually reverse that. The signal we're sending is that National will be tough on crime, and we will not tolerate gang activity. That's the signal that we're sending.
Something I picked up on in the leaders' debate, could National lower the bail screening age?
So what we've said we'll do is we'll undertake a business case to see if we can lower the bowel cancer screening age, currently 60 to 74, and the exploration will be 50 to 60. And what we need to look at here particularly is we need to look at the downstream implications. More specifically, have we got enough laboratory staff and laboratory equipment to manage increasing the bowel cancer screening age? For those that are positive, do we have enough logistics and enough staff, enough workforce to implement the management of a positive bowel screening result? And you recall what happened down in Southern when the Labor government thought they'd go for a soundbite, turn on bowel screening way earlier than they were prepared, and they didn't have enough colonoscopists and people died. We want to make absolutely sure that we have the mechanism in place, the health workforce and the logistics to manage turning on that tap.
Right, so before you increase, you'd want to make sure that it was viable.
We want to make sure that when we increase that bowel cancer screening age, that if we get a positive result, that we have enough of health workforce and enough resources to do what is right with that positive result.
Is the ideal situation that cancer screenings of all kinds should be available to all New Zealanders?
So this is where we take international guidelines and we take the advice of experts. There's actually a set criteria for what qualifies as screening. For example, the screening test has to be sensitive, it has to be specific, there has to be an intervention that affects a positive outcome. These are all some of the measures that define, that you have to tick off, for want of a better word, a screening program. And where we want to be at least as competitive and sitting where our international partners currently are, which is why we lifted the bowel cancer screening, the breast cancer screening age to include 70 to 74-year-olds, because we were clearly falling behind our OECD partners and we needed to change that. So that's how we should benchmark ourselves. Where are those countries that we normally compare ourselves to? Are we falling behind? How do we change that?
That was Millie speaking to the National Party's Dr. Shane Reddy.
That was National Party MP Dr. Shane Reddy. You're listening to The Wire on 95BFM.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.